to call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, now joining us on a Schneider Orange hotline. Paul, how are we looking?
Bill, looking real good, Bill. How are you looking?
I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing a lot of white stuff and I'm not really ready for it yet, to be honest with you.
No, it's November 9th. Knock it off.
Yeah, I'm not really ready for it yet. I'm more of a right after Thanksgiving kind of guy. Give it to me, getting me into the Christmas spirit for Black Friday and beating the hell out of people for a parking space. That's what Christmas is.
I like the back part of that. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Paul, so I had asked all day today, what is your confidence level in this game upcoming? It's a 9.5-point spread. Do the Packers win, cover the spread, go into Seattle, get a win? They get two wins, turn their season around within a matter of 4 days, and then get ready on the mini bye week for our friends in Minnesota.
Sure. Bill, they should clearly win on Sunday. They're back home. I don't know if what they did in Los Angeles and in New England is their losses, but now that those losses are behind you, was there something in those games that has the players feeling good? I saw a quote yesterday from Randall Cobb that was pretty telling in the sense of, that something has felt different about these recent losses, and that when the team has gone through trials and tribulations in the past, there's been at least, more optimism, maybe even internally. And so this time, is that same thing true? Now, you can get healthy really fast. If you go, if you have this game, 9.5-point spread is pretty significant. Obviously, it's good to be back home. But then they get to a point where, like you said, it's a short week, and then you have Minnesota, and you're not, I don't think they're back at home then again for another 4 weeks after this Sunday. So this stretch right here is intense, and it's not something that they're going to have to be able to easily walk by, Bill. So I think there's a level of confidence that you should beat a Dolphins team that is in the state that they're currently in, not just at their quarterback position, but their run defense in Miami has been really bad since week three. So there's a lot of things the Packers should be able to take advantage of. And then if they don't, I don't think there's any amount of 4 hours of Dr. Bill therapy on Monday that could possibly fix it, because it's one thing to go on the road and lose to two Super Bowl contending, maybe two of the best teams in the league in the Rams and Patriots. You have to come home and take care of business against a team like the Dolphins, because if you don't, man, there's much bigger problems that we probably even haven't even run into yet with this team this year.
Yeah, there's not a rubber mallet big enough that could whack me in the dome if they lose this game. That I would completely agree with you. Now, my biggest issue is for this game is for the offense to look good, to basically stick to the plan. That is, get ahead by a couple of scores, force the other team to start throwing the football, let your defense kind of do what it does better, and that's kind of shutting down some of the passing game and maybe creating a turnover or two, and then going on to get a win going away. They haven't been able to do that. They haven't played a whole four full quarters yet this season. I think this is where it has to start for this team to consider itself, I guess, a true contender for the ability to come back and really win the latter portion of their season.
Yeah, and it's fascinating too, because it's been doom and gloom for the past 2 weeks. Yeah, they got close against the Rams, but then it was a debacle at the end, very much similar to what happened in the NFC Championship game 4 years ago. The Ty Montgomery fumble and that Brandon Bosque onside kick, bared a lot of resemblance. 2 days later, Montgomery traded. Clinton Dix traded. A week later, the Whitehead thing happens and he gets cut. It's kind of been a, all bad things happening at once type of situation. But, yeah, they're in a spot here where the division is very much still within reach. And I think that's what makes it so fascinating, that despite everything not looking well, I mean, not even, like, average well, like, just not looking even to that point, they can turn things around right now. And, I don't think you should put I don't know how much stock should be put into Mike McCarthy's track record of turning around a season. But he's done it. And he has that on his resume. And sometimes it takes a Mike McCarthy team, Bill, to be down and out, or seemingly down and out, for them to kick out at the last second and, you know, and turn things around. So it's happened before, so I think there's reason to believe that. To your point about getting out to a fast start and not looking back, there have been far too many times this year, especially against lesser opponents. I mean, you could start with Chicago in week one, and there's been times, you know, like Washington, and this team has got off to far too many slow starts. And you look all of a sudden, second quarter, and it's a double-digit deficit. This does need to be, I think, for the player, most importantly, it's one thing for fans and people to watch and say, you know, here, this is what I think about this team. I think for the Packers players themselves to kind of feel like there is still some positive momentum left to be taken from this regular season, they know they need a double-digit win against Miami. So the 9.5-point spread, I think, it makes sense, because I think it lines up with, you want to win a game in the NFL any way you can, and I don't want to minimize, you know, a 3-point win with a last-second field goal. At the end of the day, it would be 4-4-1, and that's ultimately what matters. But I think for the Packers to feel, you know, even in their own lockers within 1265, that this is a season that's salvageable, you need to take care of business, not just with a win, but with a decisive win, and with clearing up a lot of things, though, that have been problematic, and with getting big performances out of guys that haven't had big performances recently. Aaron Rodgers needs one of those Aaron Rodgers games. And I will not, like, if Rodgers has an old school Rodgers game where he just looks fantastic, you know, I don't want to hear people on Monday say, yeah, well, it was Miami. No, it doesn't matter who the opponent is right now. Rodgers is one of, I mean, a dozen players I could think of off the top of my head that individually need strong performances. So, you know, you play who's on your schedule, and if those players can show up and have those type of games, and it does start with Rodgers, you know, it starts with McCarthy, but from a player's perspective, it starts with Rodgers. And I think he's one of a list of guys about, you know, 10, 12 long that I think individually need strong performances, and then use that as momentum going forward into the short week.
Going back to Rodgers, out of all that's been said, I thought yesterday was very poignant when he said, we need to get the ball to Devontae Adams and have plays for Devontae Adams. And then he said, we need to run the ball more. He also made the point to say that he only had a couple of RPOs in that last game. I don't know what to believe, but it certainly seems like to me, for all that's been made of everything else that he said, and everybody wanted to hear something prophetic, R-E-L-A-X, or run the table, and he wouldn't do it, it seemed to me that was the loudest statement, basically saying the guy who's calling the plays is not putting us in position to make plays. Did you take that away?
Well, maybe not as strongly as in a strongly worded as maybe as what you did, but I would say I think Rodgers is very aware of the fact, or seemingly aware of the fact, that the RPO, run-pass option discussion, is now something that is in the everyday football lexicon of Packers fans. Like, you know, 5 years ago versus today, what percent of, you know, Packers fans could tell you, you know, several things what they know about RPO? I think that it's become part of football language now in recent years. So which leads all of us, Bill, watching the game to say, oh, you know, that bootleg that Rodgers kind of ran out to the sideline and tried to get the first down himself and got chased down, and that looked like a bad decision. Was that McCarthy or was that Rodgers? You know, and to that point, Rodgers did say after the game that, yeah, that was me. I thought I saw something. I could do something with it. But the greater point to that is this is something that people are talking about, and that is who truly owns the play calling on this. We know that Rodgers under two-minute drill, that's the Rodgers thing, but it's not like that's the only time. So to that point, that's what I found most fascinating, is that I think there's an acknowledgement, a self-awareness to clear up. You know, if you're Rodgers and you kind of feel the need to, I was going to say defend yourself, but, you know, to explain the thought process, I think it makes sense that he's acknowledging maybe that there's more discussion of who's calling what, and is this a McCarthy play or an RPO for Rodgers? What exactly is this? To the point about getting Devontae the ball, I mean, that's been a prevailing theme this year. This is a post-game, middle of the week. He has said on many occasions, Devontae Adams needs to get the ball more, and then to that point, is it something that needs to be schemed for him as opposed to, okay, you know, Devontae, just go get open, and if it's part of my first two reads, I'll throw it to you. It probably needs to be more drawn up than that. And lastly, you talked about the running game. I mean, I pointed out earlier about the Dolphins' run defense in the past month and a half. It really has been bad. And if there's ever going to be a time to, you know, 50-50 run pass or 60-40 pass run, this would be the week to do it. You want to get that early lead, like you said, run it as much as you can, because there's a very susceptible front seven there in Miami to run the ball against.
Defensively speaking, and I'd asked this question earlier as well, and I want you to answer this. The who's played better, the offense or the defense?
Oh, yeah, good question. The offense has higher expectations, so I think everything is weighed against that. You know, the offense put up 17 in New England against a Patriots defense that's okay. The Packers defense has come and gone. I mean, we know that their pass rush from their edge has not been good, but they have had some good packages with their corners, you know, even especially midway through the year, or actually, I guess, be early in the season. You saw a lot of stuff with the corners coming, especially Josh Jackson had a couple really good QB hurries and pressures, and I think even one sack. Bill, I'm judging it against expectations, okay? I think the Packers defense has performed to expectation or just above expectation. Not by much, but, you know, right at that line above it, just barely. I think the Packers offense has underperformed. So, you know, when you do have a team, and yes, we've gone through out of the nine games, and Rodgers has played basically eight games, he's played 7.5 of them. You know, how many of those has he been wearing a knee brace, or has he been hobbled, like, pretty much the entire time, with the exception of this past Sunday? So, you know, does that throw everything off? Whatever. But I think if you go across and you look at the offense's production within the 30-yard line, something that you brought up multiple times, something that the statistics have backed up, when you have Rodgers trending in the complete wrong direction from a passer rating perspective, while the rest of the league overall is trending up on a week-to-week passer rating perspective, that's a down, you know, that's a bad thing. So I think the offense has underperformed. The defense has performed at expectation or just slightly above it. So not by an overwhelming margin, but because of the way this team is built, I would say the defense has held its own more so than the offense has held their own.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again on Monday and break it all down, okay?
All right. Thanks so much,
Paul. All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. That is Paul Immig joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.